This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. The buy one, get one deal is coming to an end New Year's Eve at midnight. Order now at EdenPure.com and use code words Howie BOGO. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
It's Christmas Eve. It's the one night of the year when we all act a little nicer. We smile a little easier. We cheer a little more. For a couple of hours out of the whole year, we are the people that we always hoped we would be.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I don't know exactly what you do with a president who has lost an election, and you have a new person who's been elected to the presidency, and the old president is not wanting to leave. My understanding, or what I would like to do, is I would like to see him marched out of there.
They're not kicking me out.
2020 has been a difficult year. 2020 has been rough. You know, people keep making jokes about 2020, like, we want this thing to be over. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, Georgia, Columbus, 2020 ain't over until January 5th.
Laugh it up, you punks.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
And I'm going to have a great one. Santa's going to be very good to me. I can tell. I worked hard this year.
I'm going to be sick.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle all the way. Dude, it's my show, Lieutenant Governor.
Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here.
Brace yourselves, everyone.
One horse open sleigh.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. I hope everyone's having a lovely Christmas Eve, maybe enjoying a nice glass of champagne, perhaps. Enjoy yourselves. It's a beautiful, beautiful night, and we have a lot of news to get to. Jared has been telling me some news that he really wants to announce. I did not know this, but I think he's a big Marty Walsh fan. So, Jared, why don't you tell us this breaking news?
It was just reported on Fox News, and again, the story's been out there, but Fox News just had a quote-unquote source that Joe Biden is considering Marty Walsh for labor secretary.
Wonderful. I'm not surprised.
I believe Fox News has already called it for Marty Walsh.
Awesome. Congratulations, President Marty Walsh. Guys, we have a lot of news to get to that does not include Joe Biden. I want to talk a little bit in this first opening segment about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the Bronx. I actually found myself agreeing with AOC a lot this week, both on the stimulus pork-filled bill. And all just a few things. I thought she actually had some good points. She's always going head to head with Nancy Pelosi, which I love. And, you know, they say the enemy of your enemy is your friend. That is AOC for me on a few occasions. But here's the deal. The New York Post has a piece today, and there's been so much hypocrisy with COVID. There's a bunch of stories that we're going to get to later of people who, you know, can't practice what they preach, government officials. But sometimes because of that, we lose sight of the other hypocrisies that are out there. And there are so many situations. Gas-guzzling car rides expose AOC's hypocrisy amid Green New Deal. Now, this story's old, but it still rings true, and it still got me thinking because I saw this photo of Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, and they were in Hawaii over the Christmas break. And I started thinking to myself, hold on a second. So we are supposed to be in our homes with our masks on, having bites of turkey in between taking our masks on and off. We're not supposed to travel. We're not even, according to AOC, we're not even supposed to take Ubers. We're supposed to take canoes and trains everywhere. And the left hasn't changed their lifestyles at all. Barack and Michelle are in Hawaii. There's a picture in the Daily Mail. They're paddleboarding. They're having so much fun. And obviously, they don't even care about the optics anymore. They bought a house on Martha's Vineyard, and Obama was supposed to lower the sea levels or stop the seas from rising, and that didn't happen. But it just blows my mind that all of these people think that we're this dumb, and it's really true. And there's another situation that will come to no surprise for people. There was a governor. Hold on, let me find the story here. There was a governor in Sao Paulo, and yeah, right here, the conservative governor of Sao Paulo. His name is Governor Doria, and he has imposed strict lockdowns, like most governors, including stricter ones recently, demanding everyone stay home. Do you know where he was caught yesterday, Jared? He was caught in Miami with his wife for a warm Christmas and New Year's holiday. When social media predictably exploded in rage that the very wealthy governor jetted off to Miami after locking down Sao Paulo residents for months, he immediately announced he was returning to Brazil with the excuse that the vice governor tested positive for COVID. These stories come out almost daily. And another thing I've been noticing, because it is Christmas and I like to sprinkle in the Christmas spirit wherever I can, these politicians, and I am including Dr. Fauci, I consider him a very political figure at this point, these politicians are using Santa Claus at every single turn. I have heard between Dr. Fauci, Governor Whitmer, Governor Baker, Governor Cuomo, Governor Phil Murphy of New Jersey, they're all talking about Santa. And they're using him in their propaganda schemes to make everyone think that not only are they the most important people, but they're the most right. And we need to listen to them because even Santa Claus is listening to them. It's straight out of 1984. I don't even think 1984 would go that far to politicize dear Kris Kringle. But these people have no shame. So I said to Jared today, the most recent one I think was Phil Murphy. And I said, can we put together a compilation of all of these people? And it went on for a really long time because so many people have been talking about Santa Claus. But Jared, I think it is time we play your beautiful montage of the governors using Santa to push their COVID lockdowns.
Thank you for joining us. I'm Governor Gretchen Whitmer, and I'm really excited to be here with all of you. And I also know someone who's been really following the rules and making sure that he stays safe and the elves stay safe. And so my special guest is Santa Claus.
Hello, boys and girls. How are you?
Hey, boys and girls up and down New Jersey, moms and dads, Governor Phil Murphy here. Santa Claus has been deemed to be an essential worker. Therefore, what does that mean, boys and girls? He will be allowed to fly in and around New Jersey with his elves and reindeer, with unlimited access Christmas Eve into the wee hours of Christmas morning. He will not have to quarantine. He will behave responsibly. We have that assurance. And this will be, thanks to Santa coming to New Jersey, a very Merry Christmas.
Santa Claus asked for an exception for the 14-day quarantine requirement because it would be impracticable for him to be in the state and then quarantine and still get all his gifts delivered on time. But
hold on, can we pause a second?
Happily.
I don't know if they think this is cute, but it's not. And I don't think the kids who you've kept out of school for months and months and who have been learning via computer screens in their kitchen for the last 6 months, I don't think they think it's that cute either. And I love how Governor Cuomo has the audacity to say, oh, you know, he's going to bypass the 14-day quarantine. Like all the SNL actors bypassed it, or the audience, I should say. Plenty of people have bypassed it. People that he thinks should be able to. It's so hypocritical, and they think they're so charming. All right, keep playing it, Jared.
Santa is required to wear a mask this year.
Whoa, whoa. What? Even with Santa, King Cuomo has to exercise his authority. He has to show you, because he's a fake tough guy, how powerful he is, Kris Kringle. You have to wear a mask around here, or else Cuomo and Donnie Deutsch might beat you up, okay? Keep playing it.
My understanding is that Santa has a travel form that is good in every community, every state, every county, and every country in America, in the world. And I also understand that he gets tested on a pretty regular basis. So do most of the folks that are part of his team. And I'm pretty sure he was on the really early list on the vaccine as well.
So what I did a little while ago, I took a trip up there to the North Pole. I went there and I vaccinated Santa Claus myself.
Of course you did.
I measured his level of immunity and he is good to go. He can come down the chimney. He can leave the presents.
Of course, Fauci. He's like that friend who always inserts himself into every story. You know, it's not just enough that Santa was vaccinated. He was vaccinated by Dr. Fauci. The egos on these people, and they're so self-indulgent, and it's all for us. Like, do me a favor, maybe stop with the Santa section of your speech and start talking about what you're going to do to stop people from dying in the nursing homes. Let's prioritize a little bit. But I got to say, though, I do love Cuomo. I mean, he starts to crack me up. Even with Santa, he's kind of a jerk. He's got to wear a mask. It's like, what is your problem, man? What is your beef? Anyway, guys, we got more. We got Scott Hounsell from Red State. I know everybody loves him. He's going to be talking about an article in Politico. He's also going to be talking about his favorite Christmas movies. We've got tons of stuff to get to. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for the one and only Howard Lawrence Carr. This is the Howie Carr Show.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Howie Carr Show. Howie is on vacation, but we are here delivering a live show for everyone waiting for Santa Claus. This news segment is brought to you by Tux Trucks GMC. It is getting so chilly here. We did get a lot of snow just, I think it was last week or the week before, we got a lot of snow. So everyone, make sure that you get your Fisher snowplow or spreader from Tux Trucks, your Fisher distributor. Call 1-800-MY-TRUCK or go to tuxtrucksgmc.com or visit them in Hudson, Mass. They are so nice. They are so helpful. They have amazing quality products and you cannot go wrong if you go to tuxtrucksgmc.com. Get there before there's more snow on the ground. So I just went back in the green room and Matt made a fabulous point. I said, you know, I don't think Santa Claus, who goes into every single person's chimney in the world on Christmas Eve, is the best person to promote your social distancing. And Matt said, plus you leave the cookies out and he takes a bite of everyone's cookie. So he's spreading his germs all over the world.
I think cookies also don't fall on, they were like with just pretzels. They're not quite chicken wings. So I think they don't fall under Governor Cuomo's definition of food.
Right. So do people have plexiglass around their kitchen tables when Santa comes to town? I'm asking the questions that need to be asked. And if he's drinking out of the milk, then that is a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, you have to throw the glass away after.
Done. Contaminated.
Solo cups for Santa this year.
Exactly. Before we get to the poll question, I wanted to let you guys know that we have some heroes in the news. As I'm sure you all know, our journalists are just heroic and they're so brave. They're so brave. And one example is that Maggie Haberman tweeted out that Trump, there was a daily guidance and press schedule for today, Christmas Eve, and it said 7:30 a.m. out of town pool call time. Maggie tweeted, a way to stick it to the White House press corps he hates is a 7:30 a.m. call time on Christmas Eve for a currently empty public schedule. The best response was someone said, oh, you know, we're here for you, or everyone was just mocking her. But it's a little tone deaf. Keep that music on, Jared, because I got a really good one now. This is from Julie Wolf. She tweeted out an open letter. Dear 2020 journalist, you are stronger than you know. If I had told you in January you'd produce from home, track from your closet, master Zoom. This is a side note, but Jeffrey Toobin really mastered Zoom. An anchor from your living room this year, you would have laughed and then cried. But here you are, focusing on facts, seeking truth, sharing stories, wearing your masks, bathed in hand sanitizer, doing your job. A job that some people hate you for doing. They were loud in 2020, but you were strong. You were strong enough to battle the isolation, the fear, the unknown. Strong enough to ask tough, soul-searching questions. Like, how many scoops of ice cream did Donald Trump? Oh, no, that was an addition by me. I'm sorry. Not just in our interviews, but in our newsrooms. Strong enough to ask for help because we all needed it in 2020. If you're a journalist at the end of 2020, you are strong. Stay strong because what you do matters. 2020 proved that. Thank you. And Merry Christmas. You've earned it. This makes Jim Acosta's Dear Diary seem like amateur hour.
I'm just curious, what soul-searching questions did Ms. Wolf ask of Joe Biden this year?
What flavor milkshake would you like, sir? Or did you get? I mean, they asked him so many. So I might tweet that out as well. That's actually, I think I already did. That's pretty embarrassing. I mean, and I don't like to be over the
top.
And
you're a hero for tweeting it and doing your job despite 2020, Grace.
And I don't want to be overly mean or anything, but have a little self-awareness. It's not the time to pat yourselves on the back, journalists, or ever. Like, let's celebrate the healthcare workers. Let's celebrate, you know, the parents who have dealt with so much during this year trying to teach their kids from home. I'm not celebrating CNN and MSNBC because they had to do their makeup at home instead of having someone else do it for them in the studio. Sorry, not happening. Quickly here, let your love give back during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event. With your lease or purchase, Subaru will donate $250 to your choice of national charities. Details and authorized Subaru retailers at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What's the best Christmas movie? A Christmas Carol, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the animated version, A Christmas Story, Die Hard, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Home Alone, or Elf?
I love the animated Grinch, but I'm sticking with Home Alone. Les Incompetents.
Just guys, at 5%. In Leaning in the Clubhouse, It's a Wonderful Life at 21%.
When we get back, we got Scott Hounsell from Red State. Do not change that dial. It's Christmas Eve, and it's the Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. This is Grace Curley. I'm Howie's executive producer. I'm filling in for the captain, and I'm so honored and humbled to be doing so. I've had the best few days here. We've had some amazing guests, and actually one of them is just coming up now, Scott Hounsell from Red State. Thank you so much for being with us, Scott.
No, thanks for having me again.
So, Scott, I have to talk to you first. I have a few points I want to go over. But first, can you tell everyone, you wrote a story, and the title is, Ted Cruz is a Wise and Battle-Scarred Canadian Trailblazer. Can you tell us what inspired this column?
Pretty much the liberals fawning over Justin Trudeau's beard. So Politico wrote an article, I believe it was yesterday, that talked about how Trudeau's beard is a sign of him being wise and battle scarred, and how it's just he's grown into this beard and all these other things that are just absolutely laughable.
Can I read one?
And,
I just want to read one part
Cruz
of that.
Actually commented.
I want to read one part of that, Scott, so people know what they said. The beard was significant, a symbol of a once youthful prime minister who is now older and wiser and battle scarred. Many headlines were written. It was a simpler time. We had nothing better to do than debate the merits of facial hair as an indicator of gravitas. So this was a headline. It got a lot of press because people were thinking, wait a second, you know, who cares that he has a beard? But you pointed out so many Republicans have had beards for so long and they haven't gotten any credit for it.
Right. The only thing that they had talked about with Ted Cruz, and this is, you know, to Ted Cruz's credit, is that they talked about how he was more attractive with his beard. So, in other words, they simply made him a piece of meat in discussing his beardness. But they never talked about wisdom or strategy or being battle scarred as a result of his beard. And so I decided to bestow those titles upon Ted since no one else would.
And Scott, I'm going to quote your story now. You said it wasn't until Soy Boy Trudeau grew out of his whiskers during the COVID-19 lockdowns that suddenly having a beard is story worthy. Do you think if they had looked into his blackface as much as they are now looking into his beard, that there would have been more stories on that?
I think that this just goes back to show that the media will praise the left for doing the things the right does and criticize the right for doing things the left does. And so it really doesn't make any sense for us to try to make sense of whether or not the media is trying to, be fair. We know that they aren't. We know that they're not trying to talk about this from an objective standpoint. They just want to get out there and make it look like Trudeau is somehow be wiser and more sage as a result of growing a little bit of facial hair.
The next question I have for you, because it seems like today there was so much news about the press giving themselves a pat on the back. And specifically, I was thinking of the open letter. I just read it in the last segment that Julie Wolf tweeted out to journalists where she said, you know, you are strong, you are important. And then Maggie Haberman tweeted out that, you know, she thinks the press corps that it's rude that Trump would have a 7:30 a.m. call time on Christmas Eve to do that to the press. Have you ever seen a more self-congratulatory group of people in your life?
Absolutely not. And that's one of the things, I mean, especially with some of the articles that we've been writing over at Red State, where the mainstream media has been extremely critical. I mean, Jennifer Van Laar and I did a whole series of articles on Hunter Biden's business dealings in China in October. And we were called Russian disinformation, conspiracy theories, everything under the sun. Now, all of a sudden, it's a germane story and the media is covering it. I think that it just comes down to the fact that they're blinded by their own bias. They're blinded by their own egos. They don't seem to sit back and think, maybe I need to moderate how I approach these issues or deliver this information. It's no longer about informing the opinions of the public. It is about shaping the opinions of the public. That's the way the media treats it.
I totally agree. And they're heroes for shaping it the way they want. Scott, my next question for you is, you've also written a lot of pieces about coronavirus hypocrites. Specifically, you wrote about the governor of Rhode Island and the governor of California. Is there anyone lately, because it does feel like these stories pop up once or twice a day, where someone broke their own rules. Is there anyone lately who stands out to you as being a major hypocrite?
Obviously, and this is, I mean, my own bias is being a resident of the state of California. I think Gavin Newsom is the numero uno coronavirus hypocrite, not just because he's violated his rules once, twice, three times, four times, five times. He continues to violate them. His auntie, Nancy Pelosi, violated them, and he had nothing to say about that. Again, Gavin has his own rules for him. He's been willing to travel out of state, something he's asked us not to do. When he went to campaign for Biden in Nevada, he had a large dinner with no masks indoors at a very fancy restaurant. He's got his own rules that he chooses to abide by, and then decides to shame us all inside with his restrictions. And frankly, I think enough people have woken up to the fact that he is such a hypocrite. And I've never seen more attention to an effort to recall a governor in the state of California since we did recall Gray Davis in 2003.
I think I also want to ask you, because I think you have such a good pulse on the people's perception of some of these figures, because I see a lot of things on Twitter about Dr. Fauci. It seems like he pops up every hour of the day. It's Dr. Fauci's birthday. Now it's Dr. Fauci's holiday. Now Dr. Fauci says the NFL can't play. Now he says they can. What are you thinking now that Dr. Fauci is saying we need 90% herd immunity, and he didn't tell us that until he thought we could handle it?
You know, there's a lot of things that I have an issue with the good doctor about, and many of them happen to be on the fact that he's changed his mind so many times. Science is exact. Science will tell you a result. And if you're just guessing, tell us that you're just guessing, or tell us that you aren't sure and that you'd like us to comply with certain regulations in order to until you find out what the result is. But once the results are known and quantified, they need to be abided by. And that's the problem that I've had with a lot of the Dr. Fauci edicts. Fauci has been, I think, enamored with seeing himself on the television and does and says things that he believes will get himself there. And so while I've definitely respected a lot that he's had to say and have attempted to comply with a lot of the requests, at this point, it's just becoming ridiculous that now he's saying, well, now we need 90% herd immunity before we do anything. Well, then open everything back up. We'll get there real quickly. Look what happened in Sweden. A lot of other states that have not had these shutdowns have immunity levels much higher than anywhere else. Even New York, which had their initial shoot out of that giant jump of 30,000, 40,000 deaths earlier on in the coronavirus outbreak, they now have antibody tests that say that probably upwards of about 40% of the New York population has the antibodies. It means that they've had the coronavirus and are no longer susceptible to it. So the science behind it isn't always followed. It's more of mandates because of what public opinion may sway or what makes people feel good.
Now, Scott, I do want to ask you, what did you think about Trump saying he was not going to sign the omnibus bill? I think a lot of people thought he would. And then he highlighted all of the pork inside of it on social media. He put up his address to Twitter. Obviously, everyone, most people watched it. Did you think that was a good move by him?
Well, frankly, I have obviously my complaints one way and the other. And obviously, if we're going to be doing a coronavirus stimulus bill, it should be going all to American citizens. None of this pork going to foreign countries or to, you know, the Kennedy Center of the Arts and all the rest of it. It should be simply just a coronavirus stimulus bill right now to American citizens if we're going to do one. However, the fact is that a lot of these states that don't have the restrictions are doing much better with their economies, and a lot more people are working and therefore are not needing and not requiring the stimulus. So why should we be punishing states that have overbearing lockdown requirements, rewarding states that have overbearing lockdown requirements and punishing the ones that are open? Because all this tax money from the states that are producing currently is going in to then pay for people staying home in states that aren't producing currently. So, I mean, I've said that I'm on both sides of this. I think that it should be more if we are going to do a stimulus bill. However, if we're not going to do a stimulus bill, or if I had a choice to do one or not, I'd say let's not run the deficit up and the debt up over this.
Very, very interesting point, Scott. Before I let you go, can you let everyone know where they can find you on Twitter? And then I have one final Christmas question for you.
Absolutely. You can find me at Hound Sizzle on Twitter or over there at redstate.com/Scott Hounsel and on my podcast, Sounds Right with Jen and Scott, which you can find on all your favorite podcast channels.
I love Red State. It's one of my favorite publications. I go to it at least once a day. Everyone should check it out. Now, Scott, here is the real tough question of this interview. What do you think is the best Christmas movie of all time?
Oh, you prefaced it with good Christmas movies when you texted me earlier. I'm going to say that my favorite Christmas movie of all time is probably Home Alone. You can watch that movie 100 times and still laugh at everything. Elf is obviously up there, one of my favorites. My good friend over at Red State wrote a great article about how Die Hard is definitively a Christmas movie, and I absolutely agree. Die Hard is a great one. Christmas Vacation, and one that maybe a lot of people have not been following so much, but I think is just great, is Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon.
Very Such good. All movie. Of those are on our poll question except for Four Christmases, but very good answer, Scott. Informative and entertaining as always. Thank you so much for being with us. Guys, when we get back on the other side, we have so much to get to, including the Chump Line in the 5 o'clock hour, but we're also going to talk about some people who may be running for office in the future. They've run before, and now they're threatening to run again. I'm talking to you, Andrew Yang. You guys don't want to miss this next segment. Don't go anywhere. I'm Grace Curley. I'm filling in for Howard Lawrence Carr. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hey, Howie, I see you got a haircut again.
Yes, I did, Grace. It looks good, doesn't it?
It definitely looks better than that haircut you got a few years ago before you met the president. Remember that bad buzz cut, Howie?
Jeez, you love bringing that up, don't you?
Well,
you're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. It's Christmas Eve, and Jared's bumper music is so beautiful that I could just sit here and listen to it for 4 hours. But I'd probably get in trouble. Merry, merry, merry Christmas to everyone out there. I want to get to some sound here, but first I wanted to give you guys this update. Andrew Yang has filed paperwork to run for New York City mayor. Tech entrepreneur Andrew Yang has filed paperwork to explore a possible run for New York City mayor. Watch out, Bill de Blasio. And this isn't the first I'm hearing of people mulling over runs. We had Chris Christie saying he might run for president in 2024. Karen Pulido, there was rumors that she was, you know, getting domain names for Pulido for governor, et cetera, et cetera. So it will be interesting. Everyone thinks they're a contender. I think, in all fairness, Andrew Yang is. He does seem to have a super passionate young audience, or fans, you might say, followers that support him. But Karen Pulido, Chris Christie, I'm not really sure if people are dying for them to run for anything. But I do want to play a little bit of sound here. Let us see. I heard this in the introduction. Kamala Harris talking about how 2020 has been rough, but it will not be over until January 5th. Jared, can we play that? This is Cut 10.
2020 has been a difficult year. 2020 has been rough. You know, people keep making jokes about 2020, like, we want this thing to be over. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, Georgia, Columbus, 2020 ain't over until January 5th.
No, 2020 is over when the new year starts. Okay?
You can't let the man continue with fuzzy math. Yes,
exactly. I'm sorry, Kamala. I cannot let you continue with fuzzy math. There's another story I wanted to get to because I don't know if we'll have time. We are doing... this is my first time announcing this, but we are doing Police Blotter Facts Friday today. So if you have anyone who loves Police Blotter Facts Friday and thinks we're not going to do it because it's Thursday, we are doing it at 5:30, so make sure you tune in. Before we get to that, Jared, I want your take on this. University of Michigan is blasted as moronic after woke IT task force bans words like picnic and blacklist for being offensive and harming morale. There's a lot of words on here that are being banned. I'm going to read you a few of them. Blacklist and whitelist.
All right.
Crack the whip.
Okay.
Crazy insane.
Eh.
Grandfathered.
Is that too gendered of a term? Do we need to say elder, grand eldered or something like that? Is that why?
They would prefer you say legacy status, exempted, or excused.
Yes.
They give you options. That's the thing. It's considerate. They do give you options. In this new world, they have words you can use that they will not get you in trouble with the PC police for. Long time no see is no longer appropriate.
And do we know why? Why is that?
They don't explain why. They just give you they give you the new word that you should use or the new phrase. It's been a while. I haven't seen you in ages. That's what you should say instead of long time no see.
Uh-huh.
Picnic, out.
Was this a Yogi Bear thing? Like what?
That's a really good question. It could be, but now you're supposed to use gathering. Sanity check. Cannot say that anymore. You should say quick check, confidence check, coherence check. And you also cannot say off the reservation. You should say outside the norms, rogue, break with the group, off on your own. You really can't say low man on the totem pole, which I think I said yesterday. You have to say last in the pecking order, the bottom of the heap.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Somewhere pecking order, that's got to be, that has to have some etymological connotation that we need to get rid of that one. Then.
I was thinking the same thing, that chickens would be offended or maybe roosters.
I'm going to have to look where pecking order came from.
Please do. And we have to let the University of Michigan know that this cannot stand. They said their explanation of this was, it's to effectively communicate with customers. It is important for ITS to evaluate the terms and language conventions that may hinder effective communication, harm morale, and deliberately or inadvertently exclude people from feeling accepted to foment a healthy and inclusive culture.
Okay, so pecking order is a colloquial term for the hierarchical system of social organization. First described by a German guy whose name I can't pronounce in 1921.
This...
So it's the whole societal, colonial, crypto-fascist, whatever.
Well, Merry Christmas isn't on the list. So merry, merry, merry Christmas to everyone. Guys, we'll be right back with a chump line. Don't change that dial. It's the Howie Carr Show.